there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Anderson! Off the line by Wegerle and turned in by Bruce!
As Strachan gets the corner in, Bruce! Top corner!
Bruce arriving and Bruce scoring!
Now it's going to be Brian Robson floating in there towards Steve Bruce! And it's in there!
Sharp gets another go. Two decoy runs and Steve Bruce scores!
So Nigel Spink against Steve Bruce, and Bruce wins it, and United are ahead.
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, and it happened!
No!
Hello and welcome to Chapter 3 of Striker. We are back again, the full chapter-by-chapter review of the infamous Steve Bruce novel. I'm Chris Skull. Joining me, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
Michael Marden is back.
Hello.
And so is our resident literary expert, Ivo Graham.
Hello, Chris.
Now, on the forum, which we have, if you haven't taken part, it's genuinely a great read. I'm really enjoying it. And lovely spirit about it, I think. Lovely spirit. I particularly enjoy the endless 90s football quiz, which you'd love, Ivo.
Go on.
So, one of them asks a question. Whoever gets it right then asks the next question. It passes on and there's a running score.
Right. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
There's a thread called Steve Barnes the Movie, started by James EYFS. So, he suggests, because obviously Steve Bruce is too old to play Steve Barnes.
Right.
He suggests Lee Ryan from Blue, which I don't think is a good suggestion.
That's a bit rogue.
Danny T says a young Robson Green would be an excellent choice.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. Yes, Robson Green.
That's really nice. Yeah,
I can't picture Robson Green.
From
Robson Jerome.
Robson Jerome.
Okay.
So Elwood Red. So I've thought about this, and I don't think it should be a straight Steve Barnes movie, he says. I think it should be a movie about Steve Bruce writing the books, showing his creative process.
Oh, like adaptation.
But then a real murder happens and everyone says, right, Brucey, he wrote a book about this sort of thing. So, and then Steve Bruce has to solve the...
So are we suggesting the real Steve Bruce is playing...
Steve Bruce is playing Steve Bruce, who's writing Striker, and then a murder happens. So it's a slight... It's a different type of film.
It is a different type. Come back, Lee Ryan, all is forgiven.
James EYFS replies, I like the idea of Steve Bruce being the narrator that top and tails each film in the trilogy. We open Steve Bruce as Steve Barnes walks out of the training ground. He gets in, of course, into his Jaguar E-Pace. Steve moves with the times. He settles in for the drive home. He looks in the rearview mirror, breaking the fourth wall. Voiceover starts. That's it, my last day. I'm retired now. 50 long years at the top of British and European soccer. I want to tell you all about my career. The highs, the lows, and the murders. We zoom in to Steve's eyes as music vaguely reminiscent of the Bill plays. We pull out to a young Steve, Lee Ryan, driving his XJ8 over the Pennines.
I love that he's got Lee Ryan back in.
So there's some examples. Someone suggested Alex Bruce could play Steve Barnes.
Oh, lovely.
Can I leave you with one last message from FS91? He's put, Daniel Day-Lewis may very well be managing a Football League club already in preparation for the Steve Barnes role.
Lovely.
Perfect. A lovely thought.
I'd love to expand the casting. I'd love to sort of, I'm going to go on there and suggest this, but the entire ensemble from the novels.
Yeah, I think that would be lovely.
Who would you pick? Who are you casting for? Carberry, for Julie, for all of those people?
Yeah, I might put another ask into the forum. If you were to develop a whole subplot, as in like another franchise.
Oh, what, like Joey?
Yeah, like Joey. Yeah,
like Frasier.
Julie. I mean, I think we've found the winner, but maybe there is something.
I think I'd have Carberry in prison, and he's managing the prison football team.
Oh,
what do you think of that?
That's a bit of a spoiler there. But,
oh, the Duffy prequel.
The Duffy prequel. That would be a sad film, wouldn't it? Yeah. Duffy growing up in Ireland.
I know, loaded with like sort of horrible moments of dramatic irony where someone says, "You'll remember this when you're an old man."
Oh, God. God, really brought me down.
Oh, no, I tell you who'd be quite. I mean, you could do a kind of Eastern European war film starring the caretaker.
Yeah. No, well, wasn't
just,
it?
Just commit genocide and war crimes.
Holocaust camps or something.
Yeah. You could call it. You could call it Hotel Lettersford.
I'd watch a sort of gritty Ken Loach style kitchen sink drama with those two brassy sex workers. All right, darling.
Right, so we enter chapter three. Steve Barnes has just been grilled by the police, and Sir Lawrence has then stormed in at the end.
And we begin chapter three. It took several hours to get matters sorted. Never in my life, either as a player or manager, have I answered so many questions in such a short time. Okay.
Yeah, he was really bad at his driving theory test. Just kept timing out.
Your driving theory test is 30 questions in about 5 minutes.
There's no way that Barnes hadn't passed before the introduction of the theory test.
That's true.
Barnes would have passed at 17, 100%.
After Sir Lawrence, the two detectives gave me a grilling. They said there was no question at that stage of my being charged with murder or anything else. They needed to question others. Did Pat Duffy have any arguments with the players or members of staff? Chief Inspector Shannon asked. He was a quiet lad, newly arrived from Ireland. Which part of Ireland? The South. He was brought up on a farm. Did he threaten anyone? Sergeant Widdowson asked. He isn't that kind of lad, I insisted. I was referring to Duffy as if he was still alive. His death, well, it hadn't sunk in yet.
I mean, we've got that because he's barely spoken about it.
Yeah, that's why he's able to breeze through this situation so easily.
It wasn't mentioned once in chapter two, barely.
Do we think there's an element that we think we're giving Bruce a disservice and he's actually writing Barnes as someone who's in shock and unable to focus on the murder, so he's focusing on whether his wife's bought enough chamomile tea?
Yeah.
I think that there's a certain tenderness to him knowing, you know, a bit about Duffy's backstory and about growing up on a farm in, admittedly, the quite sort of general, the south of Ireland.
Yeah.
Do you think he comes across quite sweet there?
Yeah, I think more than normal, yeah.
Nor, for that matter, had my situation seeped through to my brain. The police might be reassuring and polite, and Sir Lawrence might earlier have loudly protested my innocence, but the fact remained that I'd been with Duffy earlier in the morning, and I'd been caught with a knife in my hand. I could imagine the pleasure that Eddie Carberry would get from his version of events. Carberry spelt C-A-R-B-E-R-R-Y, Carberry. I thought it was Carberry.
Of course, this is the first time
you've
read
it. This is the first time I've actually seen his name spelled out on the text.
It's going to blow your mind when you read Harry Potter.
Any other reactions, Chris? Is it in the font you imagined it would be?
You're not being as helpful as I expected, Steve, Shannon said. What the hell do you mean, I exploded? I'm talking to you now, aren't I? Do you have a choice? Shannon asked quietly. Am I under arrest? You're helping us with our inquiries. But I'm not under arrest, I persisted. Not yet, Sergeant Widdowson said, and there was menace in his voice. I don't like threats, I said. I don't threaten others, and I don't expect them to. No threats, Steve, Shannon said. His voice remained calm and quiet, yet I know that those who are quietest can be real tough guys. I've seen it on the park. Players with faces like angels, but they can behave like assassins.
I read that and I thought, who is the most...
Well, the baby-faced assassin is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, he's the obvious answer.
But I think he's talking more about a sort of, you know, a rough tackler, really, yeah, than a sort of assassin in terms of popping up with goals.
Yes.
Who's the hard man with the kindest face? And Sergio Ramos is quite a nice-looking...
But he's not quiet, though.
No, he's not. I agree. The person Steve Barnes is describing doesn't really exist.
Yeah, I'd lose the face of the angel because I imagine Roy Keane's quite quiet.
Yeah.
A brooding quiet.
Like David Batty, if you remove the face of an angel.
Paul Scholes?
You know, like, just thinking his, some of his tackles were horrific, but he's quite...
rather than a
he's got a
thug.
Little angel face, little chubby angel face. Tough in the tackle.
I don't picture...
You've seen that picture as well, have you?
The boy.
The boy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Players with faces like angels, but they can behave like assassins. So why this rubbish that I'm not being helpful? You seem to be holding something back, Widdowson said, his voice suddenly harsh. I guess that these two were accustomed to playing the old interrogation game. The old interrogation game where you sit there and then different things come on the conveyor belt. You've got to remember them. Hard man, soft man. Widdowson was the tough guy, the sergeant with something to prove.
Can I just say, the expression is definitely good cop, bad cop. Yeah. Not hard man, soft man. Soft man. Don't try and play hard man, soft man with me. Which one of you is a hard man, which one of you is a soft man?
So, Widdowson was the tough guy, the sergeant with something to prove. I can't tell you what I don't know, I said. Remember, I am fairly new to the club myself. Your assistant, Shannon began. Eddie Carberry. Did he come from Threshfield with you? He's been here some time, Widdowson explained. Widdowson clearly read the sports pages first. No, he was here when I arrived. Did you see him this morning? Not till after the killing, I said. We usually meet up at the training ground. But you did see Pat Duffy, Shannon said. You saw Duffy earlier this morning. Yes, I arrived at the stadium early this morning. I always do. I plan to get some office work done before going to the training ground with the squad. So was Duffy a member of this squad? Shannon asked. Suddenly I realised that he had asked me these questions earlier. I actually just thought then, am I reading the same page?
I genuinely was about to say, Chris, are you on the right chapter?
Is this all the same? This is like within half an hour of him asking all these questions.
It's not half an hour. Like, if it was half an hour, we'd have had three more cups of chamomile tea.
No, but it's hours. It's ages.
He's just checking if his story's changed, isn't he?
Because he said he's never had so many questions over so many hours, such a long period.
I see. Right, okay.
He's really playing games with his mind. They take it in turns to sit down in his chair at his desk as well, just to really screw him over.
Suddenly, I realised he had asked me these questions earlier. He was deliberately backtracking to check if I was giving the same answers.
Good work.
Yeah, nice.
Shannon was a smart guy. I appreciated why he had risen to be chief inspector of detectives. That is a nonsense, isn't it? I am the chief inspector of detectives.
Yeah. This is a guy.
Don't look at my badge. I played their game. I gave the same answers more than once. There was no problem. I was telling the truth. All I needed was to tell it like it was. The whole interview lasted 2 hours, but it seemed longer. Where are you going to be the rest of the week? Shannon asked. Here, at the stadium, or up at the training ground. Do you have a midweek match? Widdowson asked. The next game is Friday, I said, against Fulton. Are you travelling down Friday or Saturday? Widdowson asked. It's a home fixture, here at the stadium. Why, when you play
Can
away...
I just say, are we overlooking that Widdowson sounds like Steve Barnes has written myself as a character?
And also, this guy's supposed to be a really tough interrogator. Steve's just told him the match is on Friday night, and he's gone, are you travelling down Friday or Saturday? Why would I be travelling on Saturday, the day after the game?
Well, also, isn't this guy that always reads the sports pages first? Couldn't they know already where they were playing this weekend?
Yeah, why is he asking about the fixture, trying to check out if the fixture story's legit?
Pick up a paper. He knows he's going to ask him again in 5 minutes' time, so I'll just check he gives the same answer.
You're right, Michael. He says, the next game is Friday, I said, against Fulton. And then Widdowson says, are you travelling down Friday or Saturday? We arrived 24 hours after the game has been played. Yeah.
Well, I think, as we can all confirm, that game would be called off. There's no way that game would go ahead. Mm. But B...
Yeah, these days matches are called off if a couple of players get a cough. So,
But B... I think this plays into what we've discussed before, which we'll be interested to follow through, that he's had to go back and amend a game to Friday and the game is on Friday for some reason of timing that he that let just because of the way the novel falls.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. He's just
and
got
so it's,
to find
it's possibly in an earlier draft, and I can't believe there's more than one draft. But it was possibly a Saturday game.
Why, when you play away, do you travel a day before the match? Shannon asked, and I could tell he was asking out of interest and not because he's a copper. We could travel on Saturday, but I find getting together... He's got it wrong there again, isn't he?
He's gone back and he's replaced the first Saturday. Yeah. He's not read on.
We could travel on Saturday, but I prefer not to forfeit the game from non-attendance.
We could travel on Saturday, but I find getting together at a hotel with a swimming pool allows me to relax the lads in many ways. Sounds like he's wanking them off already. Yeah. How many more ways? Pop a finger up there, arse enough.
Okay. That's a good manager knows which player needs an arm around them, which one needs to be.
I wonder Carpri wants him out. These working conditions are unacceptable.
It's the exact peccadilloes of each player.
We have to go to these games 24 hours and tug the whole squad off.
Some of the more tantric players, they go down on Wednesday, actually, just to really tease it out of them before the game.
Oh, God, the next line's good. Relax, Shannon said. I would have thought you wanted to fire him up.
Shannon doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, calm down, Shannon. The secret is to keep it simple, I said. Like Cluffy. Cluffy, Sergeant Widdowson said. The famous manager, I told him. Derby County and Notts Forest. His aim... That's Fordy's biggest pet hate.
People hate yeah. that.
It's Nottingham Forest. His aim was always to keep things simple. Whether coaching, fitness regimes, tactics, keep it simple. Keep the ball on the ground. I've always been led to believe he was rude, defensive, and a bit of a megalomaniac, Shannon said. Do you take Brian Clough as your role model? Certainly not, I snapped. I was becoming tired of all this questioning. What worked for Brian Clough all those years ago might not work for me. Leddesford isn't Nottingham, and I'm not Brian Clough. Do you admire him? Shannon probes.
What is going on?
He won two European Cups in Nottingham Forest.
Also, hasn't Steve has brought up Brian Clough. He brings him up, you know, in one of his classic sort of crowbars, and Shannon says, do you respect him? And he goes, oh, enough of these Brian Clough questions.
Also, this interrogation is no longer centred around the murder.
Yeah,
they're all trying to crack him with his knowledge.
He hasn't brought up O.J. Simpson. He's brought up Brian Clough, who's... They got nothing to do with murder.
Well, famously in the O.J. Simpson interrogation, they just asked about his American football career for 3 hours trying to crack him. Is he a role model? In some ways, yes. He redefined the skills of football management. He collected enough silver to prove over and over again that his methods worked for him. They wouldn't work for me. I'm a different person. Finally, Shannon stood up and Widdowson followed suit. Where can we interview Eddie Carberry? Shannon asked. He has his own office, I said. As large and as well appointed as this one? Shannon asked, with a smile. Much smaller, I said. His smile made me feel more relaxed.
Oh, Steve!
Both the room itself and the desk he sits at.
What? Has Steve Barnes seen that?
Yes.
That is insanely petty.
So petty.
Well, you don't like Eddie Carberry, do you? Widdowson said. I don't like him. I don't dislike him. Outside of the club, well, we're not friends.
No, you do dislike. You absolutely hate.
You've just made the point that both the room and the desk are smaller, and that gives you satisfaction.
I'd say, were I to be put in a smaller room, I wouldn't demand the same size desk because I'd want.
You want everything in proportion.
Yeah.
At this point in the story, I find both Carberry and Steve Barnes equally dislikable.
Yeah, they're petty.
Yeah.
You don't like Eddie Carberry, do you? Widdowson said. I don't like him, I don't dislike him. Outside of the club, well, we're not friends. Who are your friends? Chief Inspector Shannon asked. In this business, it's often hard to know, I replied. Who do you mix with socially? Shannon was moving to the door, but it was clear that the questioning was not finished. These guys knew how to put a man off guard. I'm a married man with two kids. That takes a lot of my leisure times. Sometimes see my old mates from United. Yes, Shannon said. You live near Mulcaster, don't you? I nodded in agreement. We need to know where you are, Shannon said. I see you have a mobile phone. I'll be at the club, on the training ground, or at home. I don't plan to go anywhere else, I paused. We have a home game on Friday evening. It's on Sky. I take it I can prepare for the game. If there have been no new developments, Shannon said. Like what?
Wait, sorry. I thought they were travelling to the game. Have I misjudged
it? No, this is a home game. And then they asked him anyway what they did before away games.
They just care. They're just interested.
In the relaxation techniques.
Yeah, sorry. Do you reckon the away record's better than the home record? And how good would the away record have to be for him to implement the same relaxation technique before the home games?
Bringing all their wives in for a relaxation course in the summer. This is what you need to do the day before the game.
This is what he likes.
I take it I can prepare for the game. If there have been no new developments, Shannon said. Like what? A lot can happen in 4 or 5 days. Julie was at the door. Take Mr. Shannon and Mr. Widdowson to Eddie's office, I said. Eddie's gone, Julie said. Gone? Where? To the training ground. Did he say anything before he left? Shannon asked. Julie looked at me, almost seeking permission to answer truthfully. I nodded, briefly. He said he had an important game to prepare for, Julie said. Anything else? I asked. She scratched her nose. She was reluctant to speak. Yes? Shannon probed. He said he was going to be busy now. Now, I queried. Now that he's a caretaker manager, Julie said. Now that he's in charge at Lettersford.
Ooh.
In charge, I shouted. We'll bloody see about that. I turned sharply. My mobile phone was on my desk, but I picked up the desk phone.
Terrible.
one to pick. This is clearly one for the desk phone.
So what, to make a call or on its way out, confused?
I dialed Carberry's mobile. It was some time before he answered. Yes, he said. He knew full well who was calling. He has my number in the phone's memory.
I also, now that you've specified that distinction, I picture on Carberry's phone it says Steve Barnes' office.
Where the hell are you? I shouted. With the lads. We're working on 2 against 2 routines. How to stop the opposition from ever scoring.
If you train long enough, you will be able to stop the opposition ever scoring.
Until Friday. Do you reckon we'll manage?
That's the vain delusion of an assistant manager who's been promoted.
I'm confused about what's happening because Duffy's in the first
football. If you could do that,
team have never conceded a goal.
Do you know why it is? They've been practicing 2 on 2.
If you're Barnes in that scenario and the assistant goes, we'll stop the opposition from ever scoring, carry on. If you think you can, you know, if this is a productive use of your time, I know you're trying to frame me for a murder.
I love stop the opposition from ever scoring.
Oh, here we go. Oh, Barnes has figured it out. You can never prevent the other side from scoring all the time, I said. You should know that better than most players, I added. Now, Alan Hansen, Liverpool and Scotland, once said that a goal scored is bad defending, but he may have had his tongue in his cheek. For all his quiet approach, Alan has quite a wicked sense of humour. And a very low golf handicap, as I know well enough. Fuck off.
Oh. Most Partridge sentence in the entire series. So what did Hansen say? Hansen said that every goal scored...
I don't know this quote. Alan Hansen's view is, every goal can be prevented.
Mm. Yeah, he's very much from the Carberry school of football philosophy.
Absolutism when it comes to defensive training.
How thick is Carberry? Like, how thick is Steve Barnes making him?
He's either a genius or a total wally.
Watching Match of the Day in the 90s, and Hansen always saying, hey, a bit short on 2 on 2 this team. We've probably been doing a bit more 2 on 2 this week.
They've clearly not been doing their wall passing.
We're just about to leave, Eddie Carberry said. Good. Come straight back to the stadium, I commanded, and look bloody sharpish. I slammed the telephone down into its cradle. That was a mistake. In my words and my actions in the last 5 minutes, I had proved to Shannon and Widdowson that I was capable of a bad temper. That both had noticed this, I did not doubt. The chairman wants to speak to you, Steve. Again? Alone. He's been fuming all morning. The artist, Sir Lawrence, is, there's been a murder on the premises and his emotion is just fuming. I could well understand why. Chief Inspector Shannon had been a bit short with Sir Lawrence earlier. He had come close to telling the chairman to go away and wait his turn for an interview. Sir Lawrence does not take kindly to such behaviour, no matter how politely it is presented. Tell him to give me 15 minutes, I said. Julie pulled a face. He's been very patient, Steve. Yes, and so has Harry Pickles and the boys and girls from the Fourth Estate. The Fourth what? The press, I smiled. That was something I learned at school.
Oh, no. I think I remember learning the phrase the Fourth Estate from reading this the first time around.
The press, I smiled. That was something I learned at school. Which school did you attend, Shannon asked, ever inquisitive. This interrogation is really going on.
It's wide-reaching.
A comprehensive in Newcastle, I told him. Do you want to know my final results? He shook his head and almost smiled. I was pleased he did not take up on me with the matter of my GCSEs. My results were not the best in the school, mind you. There must... This net said. I'm going to read exactly what it says. Mind you, there must be many of my schoolmates who wish they had made it in senior soccer.
Fine. Can I just say...
It's quite unfortunate to get that wrong. Yeah, it's
just from all the sentences.
Talking about his school grades. The fuck the grammar and spelling up that bad.
Do you think... I know this is a small point, but would Brucey not have done O-levels?
Yeah.
Sorry, such a boring thing to pick up on.
It is true.
I spoke first to Harry Pickles, who's shown a lot of patience over the last 5 hours of interrogation. He was full of good sense and sympathy.
Can I just say also, I think Harry Pickles is a really vivid choice of name.
I find it quite hard to take him seriously every time he comes up, to be honest, because he sounds like a dog.
I think I can picture Harry Pickles.
I'm telling you what I'm not picturing is him getting poached by The Athletic.
But he would do. Because if Letters for the Main... They like to have the main journalist. So Pickles would be the first on the list at The Athletic.
I think they like to have the main objective journalist, not some local hick in the manager's pocket.
Pickles, I think, would have retired by now, and The Athletic would do a deal. He'll do one article a month.
Yeah.
Either wheel him out.
And he'd do 2 months of good articles, and then he's really struggling. He'd do an 8,000-word think piece on Julie.
Which we'd all share religiously on WhatsApp. I'm really picturing someone like Timothy Spall for Harry Pickles, like a sort of, but like playing a kind of like a slightly greasy aging sycophant, in an old trench coat,
maybe with some quite thick glasses,
and a really old, like a really old Morris Metro or Ford Cortina or something that's barely alive.
Timothy Spall is perfect casting for Pickles.
Who's the
who are you thinking for Sir Lawrence?
Nicholas Parsons.
I think Sir Lawrence would be your A-list sort of your Hollywood cameo. I think Sir Lawrence would be the and casting at the end.
You'd
have the
lovely
whole cast, and it would be and
Sir Anthony Hopkins as Sir Lawrence. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Charles Dance is who I was
thinking. Charles Dance.
Charles
great.
Dance.
That's
would
a
be great
shout.
Lawrence. What about Julie? Who are you having to play Julie?
Martin McCutcheon.
Olivia Colman for me.
Do you think there's enough for Colman to get her teeth into?
Yeah, she'd say it without the words.
When you say the pack is outside, it could mean the biscuits or the press. Keep it ambiguous. Tell them with your eyes.
Who are you having for Carberry?
Yeah. I think someone like Stephen Berkoff.
Oh, yes.
Do you think he's a bit posh?
I think he could play it rough.
Burkhoff could.
Burkhoff's got range.
He's got the versatility, Josh.
Paddy Considine?
Oh, no, I was thinking...
Aged up. I think
Stephen Graham would be good as Carberry.
Yeah. Oh, I can see Stephen Graham as Harry Pickles in a weird way.
playing
a cruel waste of Stephen Graham.
Well, hang on, we've got Martin McCutcheon as Julie here. Let's not talk about wasted talent. Imagine if we pulled that off. That would be
which
do you
one?
Do you think you could convince Stephen Burkhoff to do it?
I reckon you could get him for a day.
If you could convince any of them, who would you? Well, Stephen Graham likes football.
Yeah, I think he's too credible an actor, though.
Yeah,
he's been directed by Scorsese. Like, you know.
Well, good to reunite them. Oh, right, sorry. Right.
Harry Pickles. He was full of good sense and sympathy. I told him what had happened. Again, I told it exactly like it was. No embellishments, no spinning or twisting. I had done nothing to be ashamed of. Certainly, I had not put a knife in young Pat Duffy's back. I'll make it look as good as I can, Steve, Harry said.
Pathetic.
Fuck off.
Pathetic.
So wet.
Get back onto your feet,
simply
Harry.
Simply not a journalist.
Yeah. Well, particularly, like, it's one thing if it's like, you know, a defeat, but like a murder. Like, oh, don't worry. I'll make sure to.
I can't polish a chair, but I'll chuck some glitter on it for you, Steve.
And also, are we assuming that Harry Pickles is now covering the sort of lead murder inquiry? He's a local letter. They're not sending him.
Yeah. Also, if I was Steve Barnes, I'd go, Harry, just to be very clear, your influence on this murder inquiry is fuck all. Like, how you write it up means nothing to me.
Harry, quick word on this headline. Is all men die really the line we should be taking on this? It's a bit of a tragedy.
Duffy dies of natural causes.
In other news, missing knife at Lettersford HQ. I'll make it look as good as I can, Steve, Harry said. Thanks, Harry. I shan't forget. Who do you think did it? Eddie? I shook my head. Off the record, Harry? Sure, he replied. Eddie's a jealous man. When I came here, he saw himself being made redundant. Again, at his age, that's a hard pill to swallow, Harry.
Oh, fair enough. I'll remove Stephen Graham because I didn't realise he was older, Eddie Carberry.
Okay. Yeah, weathered. That's a hard pill to swallow, Harry. But murder? I shook my head once more. Eddie? I can't believe it. Then who was the murderer, Harry asked. Duffy didn't commit Harry Kirry. Harry Kirry's the front, isn't it? Harry Kirry's where you cut your bowels open. Also, I'm surprised he knows Harry Kirry. I wouldn't even think he'd know how to go in the encyclopedia and find that.
Sorry, Sheen? For any
for God's sake.
For which role?
Carberry.
I'd have Keane for Bruce Barnes.
Oh, yeah. You'd have Sheen for Barnes. I think it's I think it's too similar to cast him in a Yorkshire-based football.
Yeah. I think Brendan Gleeson is a good shout, actually, for
Steve Bruce.
For Bruce.
Yeah.
Sort of slightly portly, carries away. You go, I could believe you were a centre-back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, good casting. Duffy didn't commit Harry Kirry. That's for sure, I said. Where is he now, Harry asked. Driving back from the training.
Is that Harry Pickles or Harry Kirry?
This is an intentionally confusing bit of dialogue. Duffy didn't commit Harry Kirry, that's for sure, I said. Where is he now, Harry asked. Driving back from the training ground, I said. I spoke to him 5 minutes ago on the phone. No, not Eddie Carberry, Harry explained. I mean, where is Pat Duffy? I shook my head in disbelief for several hours while being questioned. I'd hardly thought of Pat Duffy. I assumed his body was still on the floor of the locker room. I suppose the police are with his body, I said. There'll be a scene of crime officer. They'll be taking dabs, Harry said, meaning fingerprints. And DNA? I shouldn't want...
What, doing that dance?
they're all in there doing MDMA.
Don't you know that's what happens?
Dabbing at the scene.
They'll be taking dabs, Harry said, meaning fingerprints. And DNA, I shouldn't wonder, I said. That should lead straight to the killer. It will eliminate you, Steve, Harry said seriously, but it might not flush out the murderer. Why not, I asked. Because the murderer might not be part of the Lettersford setup. It could be someone from outside. If so, how did they get in, I asked. There's a strong lock on reception. There's a strong lock. I'm just imagining like a big 4 foot lock.
one of those old. There's a chub.
It's a chub.
Not just a Yale, there's a chub. It's a strong lock of reception.
Well, it's a strong lock.
We've all worked in places. Have you ever been aware of the strength of the lock on reception?
There's a strong lock on reception. Don't I know it? Harry said ruefully.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? You're trying to break it?
I suppose it's like he's there trying to get a story and Julie's turned the key.
Well, Harry, I said with determination, there's one thing I know for sure. I didn't do it. I checked my wristwatch. Look, Harry, I have to talk to Sir Lawrence. You understand, don't you?
Wristwatch is a weird... I know you could accuse us of taking it apart too much, but no one refers to it as a wristwatch.
I checked my watch. Sorry, just to clarify, Chris, is that his pocket watch? His wristwatch? Or the wall clock?
The grandfather clock I keep on my back. I checked my wristwatch. Look, Harry, I have to talk to Sir Lawrence. You understand, don't you? Harry stood up. He nodded his understanding. Thanks for the exclusive, Steve.
The whole conversation was off the record as well.
And that is why Pickles is a good journalist. He's just there. Sure, there's been a tragedy, but he's got the exclusive.
Yeah. What is his exclusive there, then? That there's
a box. There's a lock on reception.
Local stadium as secure as ever. Harry Pickles, Lettersford Inquirer.
At that very moment, Sir Lawrence Brooke entered my office. My patience is not inexhaustible, Steve, he said. Like I told you, the chairman is an educated guy who knows how to use words. Harry is just leaving, I replied. The chairman was not shouting as he had been earlier in the morning, yet I could tell from his face and his voice that he was still a very angry man.
Yeah. Well, and his eyes, of course.
He was angry at the whole turn of events, no doubt, and someone needed to do a lot of explaining. That someone was me! Exclamation mark. End of chapter.
Wow. With an exclamation. So That's a nice flourish.
I love that, yeah, the two chapters have ended with Lawrence Brooke walking in angry in a row.
Like, fucking hell, what is going
That's
on?
That's what
here?
I mean. You read that part as an A-list actor and you're like, okay, every scene is dynamite. I'm not in it much, but when I'm here, it counts.
Come in, use a three-syllable word, leave again. Next chapter.
Thoughts on that chapter?
Great to get a bit more texture of Harry Pickles.
Yeah.
Interesting that Steve Bruce knows about Harry Keery and the relaxation of players. Clearly, yeah. Very important.
I think it's an interesting situation, that chapter. I think I'd hope the next chapter, because I can't obviously remember, isn't a further two-hand dialogue in his office.
Yeah.
Because as I said before, it's getting easier and easier to stage as a play. Yeah. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it would be described as a bit staged by a reviewer, I think, this. And, you know, I did look at my wristwatch a couple of times. It wasn't all gripping.
Yeah, I'd say that's the weakest chapter so far, and he needs to kick it on.
Yeah.
Well, next month we will find out how he kicks it on. Thank you for listening. So we'll be back next month with a new chapter in 2021.
Wow.
Wow. What will it hold for us? I tell you what it will hold. 8 more chapters of Steve Cruz. Thank you for listening.
Robbie Slater. See you later. So there we go, another chapter of Striker in the bag. And if you want to just binge all these episodes in a row, we've got the first two books, and we're really doing this to celebrate the fact that the third book is getting completed before we end quickly, Kevin. And don't forget, there are loads of episodes. We've been doing 2 bonus episodes a month for years. So if you really love Quickly Kevin, there is so much extra content on the Quickly Kevin fan club that you've probably never heard. To sign up, go to anotherslice.com/QuicklyKevin or just go on your Apple Podcast app and chuck us a subscribe on that. We'll see you next week. Robbie Slater, see you later.